again. It's another week, and we are super, super excited to be here in your presence again. What's up, everyone? This is Rob T.
And Fanboy Dave.
And we are here another week. We are the Brothers of Discussion, and
I know. Have you been on sabbatical? It feels like it.
It feels like it. Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing. Just want to let y'all in, give y'all the skinny. We didn't do a show last week because I'm working on something because we're going to have a little. We're planning on having a little podcast extra. And
a little announcement maybe later on.
Yeah, I'm getting it in the works. And once it's all set and ready to go, then we're going to let you guys know. But it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But anyway, how are you doing, Fanboy Dave?
Oh, you know I'm always doing great. You know WWE's rocking it like they always do, so mm-hmm. I'm great.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, you know AEW's rocking it too.
If you say.
Actually, the past couple of weeks have been something else as far as the land of wrestling goes. That's in WWE, AEW, and even NWA. This past weekend, there was a lot of things that happened in NWA. I'll be honest, though, I don't really keep up with the NWA. I do know that Ric Flair made an appearance, and he cut a promo where he did mention Vince McMahon.
I think he said, I love Vince McMahon. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, he did say that. Yeah, you're
even
right.
Though he said, I know Vince probably would not watch this, but. He talked about Sean, mm-hmm. talking about Triple H.
Yeah.
He's still WWE through and through.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that one. So a lot of exciting things going on, but what we want to talk about today, we're going to talk about different rumors and things that are going on kind of behind the scenes, just little things that we hear here and there. We want to talk about the exciting things that are going on, because I'm going to tell you right now, whether you're WWE, AEW, doesn't matter, I think it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. Could you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Across the board. I think it's a really just a really good time to be a wrestling fan.
Did someone debut on AEW?
Yeah. Well, ooh. He did, but I mean, it was more of just a promo. But yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about first, is CM Punk.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think my buddy, Coach Kevin, shout out to him.
Yeah.
He's like, did you see? I was like, no, bro, I don't watch AEW.
So you have a friend of yours that watches AEW.
I think he watches both. So.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
So what did he say?
So basically, when he came in the first episode of what is that Friday show called, Rampage? When he came on Rampage, he basically gave love to the fans. Said he heard the fans, heard what they've been saying for the last 7 years or something like that. He's been gone. He didn't mention WWE by name, but of course everybody knew what he was talking about. But he talked about how he needed to get away from the place that was making him sick. The thing I found interesting was he said he left professional wrestling when he left Ring of Honor. And that was the little shot he was making at WWE, because you know how much Vince hates the word pro wrestling.
Well, we're sports entertainment, so I guess he was accurate.
Yeah, so, and he said that now he's back into pro wrestling now that he's back at AEW. So I'm going to tell you what, though. That pop that was made when he entered that place, I have not heard any pop louder than that ever.
Well, you must not watch SummerSlam. But we'll
SummerSlam.
We'll talk about SummerSlam later. But I'm sure there was pretty huge pop. Like, I thought the roof was off the building. But we'll let you still talk about CM Punk.
Now, here's the thing. I will give you this. Yes, of course, the SummerSlam pop was louder because you're talking about 50,000 people at SummerSlam, whereas at that Chicago arena where CM Punk came out, there was like 10,000 because that's how many it holds. But if I'm being honest, I'm not, and you're not going to believe me when I say this, but I'm being honest with you. I'm not being partial. I'm being impartial.
You're an AEW mark.
No, I'm not an AEW mark. I told you, I'm a pro wrestling fan. But the energy that I felt just watching at home was awesome.
Did he give a promo? He's going to fight your boy? The little school guy?
So what happened was he said that he was back because he wanted to work with the young talent in AEW. He also said there was a lot of scores to settle. One can kind of guess that he's probably talking about Colt Cabana, because now Colt Cabana is in AEW. But that's a whole other story. But the first person he called out was Darby Allin. And Darby Allin, as I've stated before in past podcasts, you could probably say he's this generation's Jeff Hardy, because he's the guy that he's fearless. He'll jump off of anywhere. He's done some crazy, crazy stuff. His finisher is called the coffin drop, which basically he climbs up on the top rope and just kind of falls backwards with his hands crossed across his chest. And he just lands on people.
So he's going to fight CM Punk?
So him and CM Punk are going to be at the All Out pay-per-view this Sunday coming up.
So he's not going to put him over because that would just be dumb.
See, that's the thing, man. I'm kind of wondering about that. So
you just said he wanted to help the younger talent.
Yeah, that's it. So it would make sense that he would let Darby Allin go over. But being the first match back for CM Punk, would he really do that? I don't know.
I think if he did that, that's a bad business move. You just got all this hype for the best in the world that he says he is, and then you're going to lose to some scrub?
Well, I mean, in the land of AEW, he's not a scrub. He's one of their top stars.
Oh, yeah, that's the one, AEW. Don't they keep, like, a ranking?
They do keep a ranking. Of
something that's predetermined?
He's stupid. He's a former TNT champion. He was the...
Let's keep a ranking of something that's predetermined. Dumb. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Hey, you're going to go over, but, you know, this is how it's going to be. But we already know what's going to happen. How dumb you think the fans are? Oh, 1 through 10. Who's going to fight for the title? You make fun of Vince McMahon.
I can't say anything.
Say it's stupid.
Anyway, going back to what I was saying. So it should be a pretty good match. You got Darby Allin and his style, which is a reckless kind of style.
The way he probably wins is if Sting comes, but Sting's still with him, right?
Sting is still with him. Sting is expected to be at ringside, but again, it's a weird kind of deal because technically you got face against face. There's no heel in this situation. And I don't see CM Punk turning heel this quickly. You know what I mean? So it's definitely intriguing to say the least.
Well, yeah, it's his first match in how long?
About 8 years, I think.
He's 41,
7 or 8
right?
years, yeah. 41. Yeah. So he's definitely at the tail end of his career, no doubt.
I hope he can deliver for y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, I will not be watching, but.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be watching. It is on pay-per-view, but I've already talked to the wife, and we're going to go ahead and buy it. So.
How much is that pay-per-view?
I want to say it's $50.
Yeah, you know WWE Network's $9.99 a month. Yes, and you get so many.
I know
WWE pay-per-views and more content than AEW has.
But again, WWE's at the top of the food chain; they can do that. So, you know, you got to do. But I promise you this: there are going to be people buying that pay-per-view. There's going to be a lot of people buying that pay-per-view because there's a lot of good matches that are lined up. So I'm excited about seeing. Now there's a lot of buzz around CM Punk too because. We all know that certain former WWE talent has been rumored to be coming to AEW. And
does he bring in ice cream bars too?
He actually did. He gave everybody at the Chicago, whatever that arena is called, everyone in the place got a free CM Punk ice cream bar.
Ooh.
That he paid for, actually, that Tony Khan didn't pay for. CM Punk did. So, So CM Punk did this thing. I guess, what did he say? I think he says LeBron James does it, where he writes.
I hate LeBron James. Yeah, oh, don't say hates him. I really dislike him because yeah. Michael Jordan's a GOAT.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you on that. Well, I guess where he writes like initials on his shoes or something like that.
I don't know.
Well, anyway,
LeBron James.
A lot
of sports athletes like write messages or stuff on their shoes.
So CM Punk did the same thing, right? So that night during his promo, he had AC. On his shoes.
Apollo Crews?
No, there was a lot of people thinking that he was kind of hinting at Adam Cole.
Oh, because he is a free agent. Yeah. I don't think he's going over there.
He also had I think it was DB on his other shoe. Or was it DB or BD? It was one of those for Bryan Danielson.
Oh, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. And then on Wednesday. Of Dynamite last week, CM Punk came out and did another promo. He had BW on his shoes.
BW.
Bray Wyatt. That's what the internet thinks. Now, recently, he did come out and say that the AC was not for Adam Cole. He said it was for Always Chicago.
Mm.
So
no Apollo Crews.
No, no Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews, I think, is pretty set in SmackDown, so he's good to go there, man. So, but the All Out pay-per-view is this Sunday, and it should be a pretty good pay-per-view. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Are you done now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk about the bigger surprises that happened at SummerSlam. And I know Shotgun's going to listen to this later on, but his favorite wrestler, The Man.
He's going
to
hate you.
Becky Lynch. That you're saying that. Becky Lynch came out to that huge pop.
She did have a huge pop.
I mean, did they squash Bianca Belair?
Yeah. Definitely.
But.
What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, what I've been reading is that she's going to be heel in SmackDown. Well, so
forget the reading. What do you think about it?
I'm fine with it.
Do you think it was good business?
I'm fine with it. It's the man. It's Becky Lynch.
Okay. Personally, I think they did Bianca Belair wrong. I mean, she's been
busting. Because you know you can't count on Sasha. I was so glad she wasn't there.
Yeah, but Bianca Belair's been busting her ass this whole time that she's been a champion. And for them to end it that way, I thought was completely wrong. Completely. It was just, they could have done it a lot better and made her look strong. But
maybe, or maybe they're thinking they want sympathy for her because there was a lot of backlash on social media.
For sure.
So maybe Vince, like people say, knows what he's doing, but he was doing what he knows.
So I did hear that they're talking about Becky Lynch going heel. It didn't happen on Friday.
Well, I mean, you could see the little bits of it, like, how about we fight tonight? And she's like, no. And she walked out.
Fair enough. I'll give you that one.
You just can't just do it and just be like, okay, let's be heel, you know. So.
Right.
But then.
Well, that's the next question I want to ask you is about the big pop.
But then, you know, I'm really a little upset myself.
Okay.
Because I was watching this pay-per-view.
Right.
And when John Cena lost, I thought it was over, so I left.
Are you serious?
I just left after John Cena got pinned. I was like, all right, I'm going. I said, I'm going to the dance hall. And then, so then I get in my truck and then I put on the Peacock Network on my phone. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, I don't cuss. My bad. PG. I'm so sorry. I don't cuss. I'm like, oh, it's Brock Lesnar.
Finally happened, folks.
My bad. I'm so sorry.
Bad boy Dave let out a cuss word.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Nobody gives a shit.
Gotcha out there. But yeah, the Beast incarnate, and man, he looked jacked.
He did.
He looked jacked. He did. And for people to say, Paul Heyman. Just the face that he made?
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, yes.
Hands down, this, and it hasn't technically even started. Well, it started at SummerSlam, but just this past Friday, Lesnar wasn't there.
No.
So technically, the storyline hasn't even really gotten any traction yet.
No, because Finn Balor is going to challenge him.
Right. But what I'm saying is even now, just with that, that's already the most interesting storyline in WWE right now.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen, you've got Paul Heyman right now who's with the Tribal Chief, but everybody knows him
like
as...
Like Shotgun said, did you acknowledge him today?
No, I did not. But everybody knows that Paul Heyman is the advocate for the Beast incarnate. Yeah, what is going to happen?
Well, I mean, what I'm hearing is that Brock's going to be a face, so I guess Paul Heyman's going to stay with...
Now, that's going to be interesting.
Stay with the Bloodline, and I mean, he's on the new shirt.
Yeah. Now, here's the interesting thing. So, of course, a lot of times, and I'm sure this happens with a lot of us that are wrestling fans and we're watching, when we're watching the current product, you kind of forget the past stuff. So, as you know, Fanboy Dave, Brock Lesnar has been in the WWE before, right? This was, he was part of the Attitude Era. Well, the tail end of the Attitude Era. I guess it was the more of the New Breed Era.
Yeah, because he beat The Rock for the title.
Yeah, but... there was a time that he played both face and heel, and I gotta be honest, I started questioning like, well, can he even cut a promo? If you go back to some of those earlier episodes of SmackDown and Raw and things like that, he could hold his own on the stick.
Yeah, he did right, and I liked when he won the Money in the Bank, made a boombox.
Yeah, I do remember that. So technically, Lesnar can talk. He's been a face before where the crowd loved him. I think he tagged with Ray one time or something. So, but it's going to be very interesting seeing him as a face now because he's been that monster heel since he's come back.
Yeah.
And it should be interesting. Is he going to... Well, I think he will be accepted by the fans, hands down.
Well, it's like one of those things, just like Click. I mean, because if you saw on social media or other things, like, he grabbed John Cena and took him to Suplex City.
See, that was the other thing, Tony. Isn't that a heel move?
maybe he just doesn't like John Cena.
Maybe. I don't know. But I just thought that was interesting. And speaking of John Cena, he's gone.
Well, he said he was going to leave after.
Just like that. But it happened so fast. It's crazy. What do you think? You think he will be back?
Maybe. But I was upset. I really thought John Cena was going to win. But then when he came out with this merch, I was like, well, he can't win if it says 16 time. If you got to make a new shirt, it says 17 time.
True.
I thought that gave it away a little bit that he wasn't going to win.
Yeah. What did you think of the match?
I thought it was all right. I mean, for John being gone that long, I mean, he held his own.
He did. I will say he looked a little rusty, just a little bit. But it was a decent match. Yeah. Roman Reigns, I got to give Roman Reigns credit. He gets better and better each time he's in the ring. When they went promo for promo, I thought Reigns held his own pretty well, compared to the last time they went promo for promo when basically John Cena had his lunch, you know. So Roman Reigns has definitely escalated. He's grown. Yeah, for sure, no doubt. What do you think about the whole Rey Mysterio and Dominik storyline?
I think you secretly work for the WWE. I think you do because you called it. You straight up called it.
It seems to be going that direction, doesn't it?
It does. So I was like, dang, Rob T, you got a side gig you're not telling me about?
Yeah. So if you weren't watching this past Friday, Dominik had a match. He went up against Sami Zayn. And,
the Liberator.
Yeah. And Rey Mysterio basically told him he was on his own. But then Rey comes out in the middle of the match, I guess to try to help Dominik or whatever. And kind of interferes.
He cost him the match.
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much cost him the match, and Dominik pushed him away at the end. So, I don't know. It's definitely making me want to tune into SmackDown much more than it's making me want to tune into Raw.
Oh, did you hear about SmackDown? They have 3 million watching this mm-hmm. past Friday?
Yeah,
blew it out of the water.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rampage is an hour show.
So,
just saying, it's just only an hour, and again, WWE is the top dogs. I'm not, you know, it's not going to be a ratings game for a long time.
I don't think it's ever going to be a ratings game.
And it may not. All I'm saying is it's impressive when you've got a wrestling company that's only been around for not even 2 years, and they're already having over 1 million views on a show that's only an hour long.
Mm. So
it's impressive.
Yeah. I can't wait till we talk about rumors. I got a question for you.
Okay, that's cool. We'll talk about that.
But yeah, no, but I heard that Brock Lesnar and I think it's a little too soon, but I think they're supposed to fight in Saudi Arabia.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Huh.
It's a little soon because it's in October.
I don't really like those shows personally.
Well, Vince likes that money.
I know Vince likes that money. I just don't think the shows are all that. So. But at the same time, I think when you do those Saudi Arabia shows, he's kind of like, I don't want to say at the mercy, but he basically caters to whatever they want because they're paying that money, which I get.
But still, it's still groundbreaking. You had your first female match.
No doubt. There. And they're talking.
And that was huge.
And they're talking about having the female King of the Ring happen over there.
Yeah.
So that's big.
That's a
huge deal, especially for that culture, mm-hmm. you know. So I'll give them that for sure. But yeah, so I heard about that, too, that Brock's supposed to be fighting, and that's only a month away now because we are in September.
Oh, yeah. Today's September 1st.
Today's September 1st. Yeah.
Time flies.
You carrying?
No, I'm not carrying yet.
We're in Texas. Today was the first day of the open carry law. You don't have to have a permit. And I kind of like it personally, but we're not going to get into that. That's too political.
That's right.
Anyway, so what else of significance happened at SummerSlam for you? The Edge match, maybe?
That was a real good match.
It was a good match.
That was a really, really good match.
The entrance, for me, was an awesome throwback. Yeah. I mean, it was really cool to see that Brood entrance. It was really awesome.
Did you hear about what Gangrel said?
I did.
Is there any truth to that, you think?
There is, actually. It's weird how it happened. I don't know if Gangrel told Edge and it sparked an idea in Edge's mind to do it. I don't know. I honestly don't know what happened. But what I do know is that because of that, they canceled Gangrel's because he was going to come out on AEW. They went ahead and they canceled it. But to his credit, Tony Khan did pay Gangrel anyway, even though they didn't use him. So that was kind of cool. He didn't have to do that, but he did. So that's very admirable. I got to ask you, man, because I've been seeing on social media, and I get it. I get, you know, you're the fanboy for WWE and everything else. But let me ask you a serious question. I want you to kind of be impartial when you answer this, okay? It's common knowledge on the internet that Tony Khan is a fan. He's a mark. He is a wrestling mark, okay? He is a huge fan of professional wrestling. He's been a huge fan of WWE, ECW, WCW, all across the board. He is a fan, right? So here's my question to you, and I'm asking Fanboy Dave to think wrestling mind, not just WWE, just as a whole. Do you think it's a good idea having such a huge wrestling fan like that being the head of a wrestling company?
I mean, yes and no, maybe.
Okay.
Because, I mean, for what I know, I don't know what Tony Khan's done other than get money from his daddy to make a wrestling organization.
Okay, you're doing it again.
I don't know what he's done, so I don't know what kind of businesses that he's done.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. That's what you're saying.
I don't know. He started getting money from his dad. Like, I don't know what he's done business-wise to be like, yeah, you know, he has that line where, no, this is business, Tony Khan, and then this is wrestling fan Tony Khan.
Well, my understanding is,
just like I told you with that whole rapper thing about giving the wrestlers freedom to do whatever, and it looks like you have yoke on your face, because then he was like, well, it didn't get approved by or sent to me first. So, because they'd be like, well, we don't have to tell Tony, he's a wrestler, man. He'll be cool with it.
And here's the thing. There's actually some validity to what you're saying. That's actually a good point. Right now, the way things are run on there, yes, it is, there is no writing team. There's no creative team, right? So they leave it up to the talent to come up with whatever storylines they're going to come up with. But in reality, that can't last.
Yeah, well, I'm sure after that debacle that happened, I'm sure now he's going to be like, you need to bring that to me.
Right.
And then where does it come to be? Not to say that this company is going to be there forever, which I don't think it will be. But then it's like, wait a minute. Well, I thought we could do whatever we want. So then it becomes to like, well, now you're being more political in wrestling, or politicking, like they say in that WWE does.
Right.
And then it may turn off some of the, well, they're called wrestlers, not superstars, right? The wrestlers were like, well, wait a minute. This is not what I thought AEW was going
to
be.
And there could be some truth to that. I think that's going to be one of those things where Tony Khan's definitely going to have to cross that bridge, because I think you can only allow, I mean, let's look at WCW. Eric Bischoff gave them all creative control, and they ran that place right into the ground.
And we love Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and all them, but then Kevin Nash was the booker, and he was doing things that benefited him.
Exactly.
And then you saw all those talent that wasn't going to do it, and they're like, we're jumping ship, we're going WWE, and Eddie Guerrero becomes a superstar.
Right.
You know, especially for the Hispanic community. And they didn't see that when he was in WCW.
Right.
Because, like they said, the inmates were running the asylum.
Right, exactly. And so that's why I'm saying, I think realistically speaking, it probably isn't going to be this way all the time. Now, I think it's like that now because it's something new. There's a great energy happening right now because, let's be honest, WWE is a machine.
It is a machine.
And it runs like a machine, you know. So you're not going to come in there with your ideas and no, because Vince McMahon's going to have the last word. You know what I mean? So I'm sorry, you're going to have to do things WWE way if you're going to go into WWE. Whereas AEW right now, they've found a formula that works where they're letting the talent come up with their own stories and whatnot. Now, granted, they're not all winners, you know, but they're allowing them to express themselves creatively. And it's almost like you've heard the term renaissance, right? So it's like this renaissance is happening where these artists are allowed to be super creative. The handcuffs are off. They can let the art fly. But at some point, you're going to have to corral it in, because if not, it's just going to be complete and utter chaos.
Well, yeah, and I think that's true because, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, nothing against Jeff Jarrett,
But, I mean, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, but, I mean, when he was running Impact or TNA.
TNA, yeah.
I mean, he was in the main event a lot.
Right,
and,
right.
And your creative people are Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, the wannabe Shawn Michaels tag team. What are they called?
The Young Bucks.
Yeah, wannabe Shawn Michaels. You know, they are all, you know, all in power of that organization.
Right.
And they can like each other as much as they want, but eventually you're not going to agree. And then who's Tony Khan going to go to, because all those people are of power. And true. He's going to have to make a decision. And some of those people that are VPs or COOs or whatever are not going to like that. They're going to say he's picking that side. So then, right. Then what happens?
That's a good point. That's a good point. And again, that's just going to have to be, we're going to have to find out when we get to that bridge.
Because everybody knows, like you said, there is one boss in WWE. Mm-hmm. No matter what. Triple H, he's a phenomenal COO. But at the end of the day, Vince McMahon gets the final word, no matter what.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. When we come back, we'll start talking a little bit more about rumors and stuff. And you said you have a question for me. So when we come back, we'll have you ask that question, and we'll talk more about what's going on right now in the world of professional wrestling. So we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough, and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want, a man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Jawan will hook you up with your tailored-to-you cut and beard trim, along with the straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old-school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dow and let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look. Talking about professional wrestling with all of you.
We're back.
That's right. So we've been talking a little bit about SummerSlam, talked a little bit about CM Punk's return, but now
Becky Lynch, Brock Lesnar.
Becky Lynch, Brock Lesnar. But now you have a question for me.
I do have a question.
Okay, what's your question?
So at my favorite website to get my wrestling information, WrestleZone.
Right.
I heard they're taking your boy off the booth, good old JR.
That's
They're
true.
Transitioning
That's
him.
True. Actually, that was JR's suggestion.
Really?
Really.
Was it because he was saying it was WWE Dynamite?
No. No, had nothing to do with that. Apparently, he's itching to kind of be the guy behind the scenes and kind of help out with the talent.
He wants to be Bruce Pritchard?
Maybe. Now he's not giving up the mic completely, because apparently he will be doing like backstage segments and things of that nature. But I think the reason why, well, this is just going by what I read, he is wanting to give like Excalibur and Tony Schiavone kind of more of the floor. I think they're also talking about bringing in Mark Henry, because right now, so on Rampage, it's a four-man booth team. So you've got Excalibur.
Is that the guy with the mask?
With the mask, yes.
That's weird. It's dumb.
So you got Excalibur. You have Chris Jericho, Tony Schiavone, and Mark Henry.
They probably used Chris Jericho because they used him in the behind the Dark Side of Wrestling, wasn't he the narrator?
On some of them he is, yeah. To be honest, I honestly, the reason why I think they use Chris Jericho is because he's really good. He's really good at
So is he going to hang him up?
He's Well, it's funny you say that. So he challenged MJF to a match at this coming pay-per-view, All Out. One more match. And basically, if he can't beat MJF, he's going to retire from wrestling in AEW. But see, here's the funny thing that some people are kind of pointing out. When he said it, he said he would never wrestle in AEW again. He didn't say he would never wrestle again. He just said he would never wrestle in AEW again.
So he's going back to WWE?
That's what some of the speculation is. Some of the speculation is that he may want to end his career in WWE. I don't know if there's any truth to that. But
I think he'd be smart.
But it, I mean, to be honest, it would make sense, you know. But I don't know. He did say, though, that if he were to lose, he would more than likely be announcing at AEW. So I know he still wants to be a part of AEW for sure. And for good reason. I mean, he's kind of, well, not kind of. I mean, you made a point about the Young Bucks and about Cody and Kenny Omega, how they're, I guess, VPs or whatever it is. But Chris Jericho is the one that really helped AEW to grow. Just with his experience and the input that he brought into the place. So he's an integral part of AEW as a whole. So it would be stupid for him to just stop completely.
AEW Hall of Fame?
They're a long way from that, man. A long way from that. You got to remember, man. I mean, you talk a lot of shit about AEW, but the bottom line is that they're still a young company. You know, and talk all the mess you want, but for being that young of a company, they're doing pretty damn good.
I'm sure ECW is hot for
not that hot.
Oh man, don't tell the Philly crowd that.
Well, again, you're just talking about a Philly crowd. We're talking about, this is honestly worldwide, the fame that AEW has right now. Okay, there's no doubt that Punk was gonna get the reception that he got in Chicago. The dude's from Chicago, right? No doubt about it. He's going to get that kind of pop.
That's right.
Right. He shows up in wherever they were last week, Oklahoma or whatever it was. The pop was just as loud. And again, that's just the power of Punk, basically, because he's such a fan favorite. But AEW as a whole, I'm telling you, man, I know you had this bet with Shotgun, and you don't ever want to watch AEW, but there's just a different feeling when you're watching AEW compared to when you're watching WWE. The energy, I think Bully Ray said it best. It's like going to a rock show, like a rock concert. You ever been to a rock concert?
I don't like rock concerts.
Okay. Well, I have been to several rock concerts. And there's this feeling. There's people that are freaking, tailgating in the parking lot. And then when you get into the actual place, You're jamming with people and you're high-fiving people, and the energy is just, you're like one big community just enjoying the rock show, whatever band that you're listening to. You know, I've been to several rock concerts. I saw Slayer live. I saw Bullet for My Valentine and some bands like that. And the thing is that's how it was, man. You'd be throwing the horns up in the air and the guy's looking at you and it's like, yeah, cool, you know. There's just this party feeling, if you will.
Are they the Hook'em Horns?
Yeah, similar. Anyway, there's just this party community type feeling you get when you're at a rock concert. And apparently from several people that have been to a live show, they say that's what it's like being at an AEW show. It's like seeing a rock concert. And the crazy thing about it is the way that AEW lines up their show is a lot like a rock concert. So I'm gonna school you on this because you don't do rock concerts, right? You're gonna take a band like Kiss, for example.
I know who they are, but I'd rather see George Strait.
Okay, so follow me on this, okay? When you take a band like Kiss, you get them on stage, you've got to start with that punch in the face, just kind of grab you by the throat type song. And for Kiss, that's gonna be Detroit Rock City. Okay, it's a banger. It's a great tune. It's fast. And it's going to get your attention. It's either that or Shout It Out Loud, one of those, okay? But then in the middle of the show, you're going to have the songs that are not as popular, still upbeat. You may throw in a slow song here and there, but it still keeps everybody very engaged in what's going on the show. Then at the end of the night, you got to do the rock and roll all night, party every day, because that's the anthem that everybody's going to go crazy on. they're going to throw up the horns in the air. They're going to be jamming, you know, they're pumping their fists in the air, headbanging, whatever the case may be. AEW has the same concept with the way they line up their matches. It's crazy. The people are going nuts at the very beginning, but you never see, now, can't say never because I got to admit, watching Rampage on Friday, this past Friday, was not as exciting as some of the shows in the past. But for the most part, when you get to that middle part of the show, there's never really a lull. There's still an excitement, but it's not as heavy as at the beginning or at the ending. Now, another thing I think that helps it, Fanboy Dave, and this is just my opinion, but the fact that Dynamite is only 2 hours long, I think 3 hours is too much.
Well, when you have a bunch of superstars, you have to have time to put them on TV.
So why doesn't Vince McMahon put more superstars on TV? Why does he always have to use the same ones?
Because he's using what he knows, and the other ones will get their opportunity when they make their opportunity.
So tell me this. Why does Raw suck and SmackDown doesn't?
I like Raw. I'm a Monday Night Raw fan.
So. I know you are, but come on, man. Look at the both of those shows objectively. We're not even talking about AEW now. Now we're talking about your area, WWE.
I'm just thinking you think it's stale because Raw's been on USA forever.
Who cares?
And Fox came in and a bunch of money, but you'll see something when the draft comes up.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying, and you're right. They're probably going to shake things up when the draft comes, but right now it sucks. Is what I'm saying. Right now, Raw sucks. Bottom line. Now, don't get me wrong. They've got some good stuff that does come out. That match this past Monday with
the triple threat match
was amazing. I will be the first one to tell you that match was off the hook.
I was surprised that they let Drew get pinned.
Yeah. Yeah. It was off the hook. Hands down. Right? But then you got the mess that happened with Charlotte and Nia.
Oh, man. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah. We'll get into that here in a second.
Yeah.
But then not only that, then you got the match between Doudrop and Eva Marie. Well, it wasn't even a match. That's right. She attacked her before the bell. And
she used one of Eva Marie's tactics.
Yeah. And Eva Marie couldn't sell for crap.
Well, she's terrible.
Yeah. No doubt. But that's my point. So when you look at overall Raw as a show, Raw sucks. Whereas SmackDown is knocking it out of the park. Now, I will give you this. The highlight for Raw right now, RK-Bro, hands down.
Yeah, they're hot.
RK-Bro is definitely...
White fire right there.
Yeah. They're funny. They're exciting. I mean, the chemistry between Randy Orton and Riddle is good. No doubt about it. But since we brought it up, I do want to talk a little bit. What was up with Nia and Charlotte? What do you know about that match? First of all, you can tell, right? That there was some shoot fighting going on there for sure.
I mean, there was a little like mess ups too. You could tell.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, when Charlotte pushed her in the back of the head and said something, I mean, man, I don't know. It was just like, oh, they're trying to hit each other.
Do you think?
Because she didn't even sell the flare job.
No, she didn't. She didn't. Do you think Nia did some of those on purpose? Like, okay, for example, you remember when she did the sidewalk slam,
yep.
but she didn't go down with Charlotte. She just dropped her,
mm-hmm.
like that one. Do you think that was on purpose?
I'm sure because, I mean, whether anybody wants to say it or not, Charlotte is the opportunity. She is the best wrestler, women's wrestler out there. I mean, and maybe there's a little bit jealousy because, I mean, yeah, Nia is from the Samoa dynasty, but... She's not really that good, and she's been in there for a long time. And, you know, there's always been whispers that if she wasn't related to that family,
she probably wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that eats at her because she's even said in the past that Shayna has been more family than her own family.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Did you get to hear that thing I sent you?
No, I didn't hear it. You said 30 minutes. Too long.
Anyway. So it was a podcast, the Busted Open podcast, and I thought Bully Ray's take on it was very interesting. Now, he did specify that he's not saying this is what happened, right? He's not saying that he knows what happened and what went down. This was just kind of his opinion.
Doesn't Devon work for the WWE?
I think so.
Maybe he called Devon out.
He claims he doesn't do that.
No.
That's what he tells me. I mean, not me. That's
what he tells you. Wow.
No. That's not what I meant. That's what he tells the Busted Open Nation. He says it all the time. He goes, I don't kiss any wrestling company's ass. None of them. He's going to call it the way he sees it. So, as you know, and because we've talked about this before, Nia Jax, let's just call a spade, she works unsafe.
She does. She's very unsafe.
She hurt Kairi Sane. Remember that?
Yeah.
And she does that a lot. So, Bully Ray's theory on what happened was during the match, there was a match earlier in the night between Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler. At the end of that match, Nia Jax attacks Rhea Ripley. You remember that, right?
I do.
Okay. When she attacked Rhea, did you see Rhea's head hit that top rope and the way it snapped back?
That was like a whiplash.
It was ugly. It was ugly. So, Bully Ray's theory is that that probably raised some eyebrows and backstage could have gotten kind of ugly with maybe Charlotte getting in Nia's face about the way she works and the fact that she, you know, can hurt somebody, and that could be where the animosity started. Because you got to admit, when Charlotte came down the ramp and they put that camera on Nia, Nia did not look happy. And it wasn't like a storyline not happy. I mean, she legitimately looked pissed off. So, I don't know. I think I'm not, again, I can't say that that's what happened because we don't know, but I mean, I don't think it's too far from, it's, I don't think it's a stretch to think that that happened.
Well, what, to see what happens on Monday Night Raw?
True. Now, they did say later on, the reports came back saying that there was no issues after the match backstage, nothing like that. They claimed that there was miscommunication that happened in the match. It caused a little bit of animosity between the two, but by the end of the match, they ended it like it was booked, which, again, doesn't really make much sense, but I mean, it is what it is. Because weren't they trying to start an angle with Charlotte and Alexa the week before?
Yeah, she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she was there, but they pulled her.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, yeah. That was a whole other debacle that they talked about, too. And apparently Vince McMahon was madder than he's been in a long time. You read that, right?
Oh, yeah. He tore up a bunch of scripts.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe the old man's starting to feel the pressure.
No. Get out of here, bro. Come on. He took out the government when they tried getting for steroids. He took out Ted Turner, or Billionaire Ted. AEW doesn't scare him. Get out of here, bro.
I'm just throwing it out there, man. That's all I'm doing. Listen, we need to take another break, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on. We'll touch a little bit about the upcoming pay-per-view. Well, I'll touch a little bit about the upcoming.
Oh, no, I got another question for you.
Do you now?
About the Revival.
Ah, okay. I'll be more than happy to answer that. So we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Keep it here. Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back-to-basics, no-fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today. We've been having a great conversation, just talking in general about the world of professional wrestling in both AEW and WWE. And right before we went to the break, Fanboy Dave said he's got a question, but I've got to correct you. Okay, the team is not called the Revival.
Oh.
They are called FTR.
FTR.
So get it right. It's FTR, which stands for formerly the Revival, or F the Revival. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What was on WrestleZone?
Okay. My favorite website. Your favorite website. It's a great website. It really is.
And Scott Dawson cut a promo, and I watched it.
Great promo.
And he was talking about he didn't know of being doing wrestling anymore because that unsafe place of AEW almost killed his tag team partner. Not my words, his words. He almost saw him bleed to death, Dash Wilder, because he got some cut on his forearm or something, and they couldn't stop the bleeding.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad cut. You can't blame the place, though. You can't.
I don't know. I didn't watch the match.
It's the same kind of ring that they would have in WWE, using the same equipment to put it up. Accidents just happen. I saw the match, okay? And basically what it was a simple move that you would do in any match. And what happened was when Wilder, was it Wilder, right?
Yes. Yeah.
When Wilder basically kind of fell, he hit his arm and got it caught on that hook that holds the ring corners together. And it basically stabbed him in the forearm. And you could literally see it pulling when he pulled his arm up. And I think where he made the mistake is the fact that he pulled his arm up. He should have kind of waited, but he just kind of pulled it up, and that's what gave him the gash in his arm. I got to be honest. I've been seeing the promos they've been cutting, and they're doing a great job of building that story and making it look like there is just this big animosity between the two teams. They're doing an awesome job with that, but I don't know. They're doing so good that I don't know what's a shoot and what's an actual promo. Because
he said he was thinking about leaving.
If you go by just the promo, right? He claims that he's still not right. Like that he's lost some feeling or something like that. To be honest with you, they're going at it tonight, and I'm gonna watch it when I get back. Yeah, I mean that's what they said in the promo. Like, this could be the last match. I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'll tell you right now though, in AEW, well. If I'm being honest, across the board and just in wrestling, whether it be AEW or WWE, as far as tag team rivalries go, right now that one has my attention big time. There is some big time emotion in that particular rivalry between Santana and Ortiz and FTR. And those guys, when they get together, the matches that I've seen when they're fighting each other, man, hard hitting and some awesome, awesome action going on in those matches. So I don't know, man. Only time will tell if he's really talking about really leaving or not, or if it's just storyline. I don't really know. Yeah. So any other questions you might have?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Just if they leave and come back to WWE.
You really think Vince will take him back?
He might. Put him back in those outfits that he wanted to put him in.
Yeah, that's why I don't think they would go back. I mean,
what else could we talk about? I mean, we could talk about Bray Wyatt. Oh, yes, that was in this. Another thing.
What's that?
That I heard that the WWE may bring back The Fiend.
Right, because technically they have the rights to the name, but we all know it's not going to be Bray Wyatt.
But it would be hard to do that because was he going to wear a T-shirt of Bray Wyatt's tattoos?
That's a good point. I mean,
you could do that with Doink the Clown. That was easy. But yeah,
right.
I mean, but wouldn't it be ironic if they do sign him back, but he only comes back as The Fiend?
Oh, I mean, like they say in the world of professional wrestling.
Never say never.
Never say never, exactly. So it's possible. I'll be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him back. And if they are going to bring him back, they're doing a really good job of keeping the secret right now.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard anything about him going back to WWE. And, and I was looking today that Braun Strowman already announced his first match since leaving WWE.
Yeah, I heard Braun's going to Impact.
Oh, is that where he's going?
Well, I don't think, but his first match, I don't think.
It's going to be at Impact.
No, but I think that he's leaning towards Impact, which I don't understand that.
I don't either. They're like low fruit on the totem pole.
Well, not only that, it's just that, I mean, it was just like the whole thing with Christian Cage, because I mean, he was like, he didn't want to do the crossover, but then he wins the
Yeah, he's the Impact champion now.
So it's just like, why'd you just sign with Impact?
I don't get it either. I mean, I know with this whole thing, I think they're trying to bring back the whole, like, the territories, like back in the 80s and the 70s. But, yeah, I don't get it either. All I can tell you is that the match between Christian Cage and Kenny Omega was awesome. And that's something I got to tell you, man. Just watching the regular shows, right, like Dynamite and Rampage, these guys put on pay-per-view quality style matches.
Who's the better wrestler, Edge or Christian?
Ooh.
Who put the better match? SummerSlam against Seth Rollins or Kenny Omega?
No, that's a good question. That's a very good question. And if I'm being honest, I would have to say Edge.
Of course, he's a radio superstar.
And the reason why is because with Edge, he told more of a story in the match. There was a story told in the Christian match, but it was more action. Not that Edge's match wasn't action, but you're talking about Edge's facial expressions, the little nuances that Edge does. Edge is a master at psychology in that ring, hands down. And Christian Cage, he's good. He's very good. But I just don't think he's at the caliber that Edge is.
He says he's the hardest worker in the room.
Yeah, whatever.
You don't even believe that.
No, I don't. I don't. I think it's a moniker. I mean, don't get me wrong. He is.
Yeah, phenomenal match with Randy Orton.
Yeah, he's a hard worker, yes. I personally just don't think he's got it down as far as psychology goes. Let me tell you what I mean. You get Edge on that mic. Edge is going to make you pop, or he's going to make you just, he's going to make you invest in what he's saying, right? With Christian, the past couple of weeks, the only reason he's gotten any kind of a pop in what he says is because he calls Don Callis a carny piece of shit.
Ooh, I thought he just beats his chest and looks at the peeps.
No, he'll cut promos, but that's the thing. He'll say his whatever his promo is, but the pop only comes because he says that, because he cusses on air. You see what I'm saying? Whereas Edge,
so you're saying it's a cheap pop?
It's a cheap pop, exactly. Whereas with Edge is gonna make you pop because he's making you feel something when he says it.
We saw the pop when he came out of the brood.
Definitely. But not even just that. I mean, I'm thinking back to some of those promos he cut when he was wanting to go after Roman Reigns. You know, by himself, sitting in a chair, dude, he made you pop just by what he was saying. He made you feel what he was trying to get you to feel. Basically, you get Edge on a microphone, he's got you eating out of the palm of his hand, no doubt. Christian Cage, not so much. Not so much. He's a great worker, though. Great worker. I'll give credit where credit is due. He is a great worker. And AEW, to be honest, AEW has a lot of great workers. They need to work on the great psychology workers like Edge.
So let me ask you another question. So I know you've been seeing on social media that NXT is changing and people are saying, aren't those the Dynamite colors?
Now that you mention it, yeah.
I'm just like, I know. But I am excited because I like how they're changing things, because they're not going after indie guys anymore. I believe Vince and Archon is thinking homegrown talent is the best solution, and they just signed the cousin of Jay and Jimmy Uso.
No, that's her little brother.
Oh, his little brother. I'm sorry, little brother.
Yeah,
I think he's like 240 though.
Yeah, right? It's Roman Reigns' cousin.
But I thought that was interesting. They got some other people coming in too. So
I'm not too sure. I honestly don't know what I feel about that, because There can be an argument made about indie talent because of some of the guys that are in AEW that come from the indies, and they're phenomenal talent. But at the same time, there's a lot of guys in the indies that suck, you know? So I'm on the fence about that one, me personally. What I'm afraid of is that, so here's the thing. Whether you like it or not, the bottom line is NXT lost to AEW on Wednesday nights. There's no way around it. Okay? That's what happened. That's why they moved to Tuesdays. Bottom line, Vince McMahon doesn't like to lose. So I believe that the changes that are happening in NXT right now are because Vince McMahon said, to hell with y'all. Y'all lost, and I'm taking over.
Well,
Maybe, but maybe not, because it's like Braun Strowman is a product of NXT.
Again, you said it. You said it yourself. Vince McMahon only cares about the bottom line, right? He's a money man.
And but Vince likes big wrestlers.
Yes.
So that's why it still doesn't make any sense.
We're talking two totally different things here. You know Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon doesn't like to lose. Oh. If he's got anything with his name on it that has lost, he's going to go in there and try to fix the problem. Right. And let's be honest, NXT is a brand from WWE, and they lost to AEW. You can word that however you want, but the bottom line is they were going head-to-head with AEW on Wednesday nights and consistently lost the ratings war and had to move to Tuesday nights. Vince is not happy about that. So now he's stepping in and saying, I'm cleaning house. I'm taking over this, basically, is what's happening. That's my opinion. That's what and it's not just my opinion. I've heard several people on the inside, on my favorite podcast that you know of, that have said the same thing. They believe it's the same reason. You know, because, I mean, NXT lost, man.
Dang, COVID took out the XFL. That was hot, too.
Oh, man, don't even get me started.
No,
on
it
that.
Was good stuff.
It was good.
It was, man.
We didn't even get a championship match or game.
Yeah, Houston Renegades, that was my team, and they were undefeated. And
they were. I mean, they pretty much won the whole thing. Yeah. Because they were undefeated.
But they'll be back. The Rock's, got it. Vince is so smart. Like, hey, you go, Rock. Take over.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be excited when it comes back because I love football, man. But we're getting off topic.
Sorry, my fault.
We're getting off
Vince
topic.
Vince doesn't like to lose, so he just said, tag the Rock.
Yeah, basically.
See, that's how I brought that in.
Yeah, okay. So, but I think that's really what's going on with NXT. There's definitely a shakeup happening. It's still exciting to watch, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens the next few weeks.
Well, I heard Johnny Gargano is going to be the main heel, so.
Right, right. And right now you have Samoa Joe back as the champion. I don't know. Just right now, looking at the way it is, I don't know who could go up against Samoa Joe and be... Well, there's one guy that I think could go up against Samoa Joe and it'd be a really good, like, story. But he's not a heel right now. So that's Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, speaking of heel, before we go, we have a little bit of time?
Yeah, we got a little bit of time.
What do you think about Vince is going to turn Shotgun's favorite wrestler into a monster heel?
Who's
Keith Lee.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah,
it's going to be real good.
Well, he's been off TV now for, what, a month?
He's probably going to come after Bobby.
That would be one heck of a if he can pull it off.
He could pull it off.
I mean, he's big enough, you know.
Well, not only that, but I think, you know, he could be arrogant about talking about he's the limitless one and all that to get fans to.
I think he needs to channel some of that negativity that he's been feeling the past few months and use that to fuel the heel.
Oh, I think that would work.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It'll be interesting, to say the least. You think he'll go after Bobby Lashley? They'll keep him on Raw?
I would think so, because you got Roman already building up a
true,
Brock Lesnar.
True, true.
So you can't have him on SmackDown.
Yeah, you definitely have to go Raw with him for sure. Well, I mean, I think bottom line is the next few weeks are going to be interesting on both shows.
Yeah, you're going to watch your snooze fest now, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you again for tuning in this week. Great conversation. I thought it was some... good stuff that we talked about. Make sure you keep it tuned in. We got some things in the works that we're not ready to announce just yet. But and Shotgun is going. I will say this: Shotgun is going to play a role in some of the stuff we got going on in the future. But a lot of good stuff coming up. Next week we'll talk a little bit about the AEW pay per view because of course I will have seen it.
Because you wasted $50.
And I'll let you guys know how it was, the pops, the high spots, low spots, whatever the case may be. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, you can always contact us via email. That's brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. Again, that's brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. You can also find us on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just search Brothers of Discussion and you will see us on there, okay? So make sure... you know, any ideas or anything like that, just shoot us a line. Let us know what ideas you might have, any questions you might have. We'll be more than happy to answer all those questions. You got any last things you want to say, Fanboy
Dave?
You'd
be happy. because I went to the bar this past Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm always, you know, telling people about the Brothers of Discussion. And I met this young lady, and she's like, I'm going to tell all my friends. And she goes, where's that? Where's that? And she, bam, she subscribed.
Oh, awesome. Well, that's good to know.
She's a very pretty lady, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell all your lady friends, you know, not that you're a man whore or anything. But
no, never, never.
But all right, well, thank you guys so much. For, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week talking more about professional wrestling. So until then, this is Rob T.
And Fanboy Dave.
And you've been listening to the Brothers of
Discussion.